Praise God, we serve a great, big, wonderful God. And today I've been sort of in two minds what to preach on. I've got two messages, two sheets of paper. You never know, there might become one message, who knows. One's on faith. I suppose the other one's still on faith. It's all about trusting God. And I know Wednesday evening we had a great Bible study. And if you've not heard it, it's online. But I just felt that today I probably needed to reinforce that as well, particularly in the way that the nation has just sort of gone in this last few days with the lockdowns, etc. And so I've entitled again the message, Fear Not, Shake It Off. Fear Not, Shake It Off. Have you ever noticed that fear seeks to cling to you, to hold on to you, and it prevents you from doing what you really want to do? Yeah? Stops you doing things. Holds you back. Today our nations and the nations in the world are living in fear because of coronavirus. They're probably more afraid of coronavirus than they are of maybe the armed forces moving in on us. And so, you know, that's where it is at this stage in people's lives. But I just want to bring you this word, fear not, shake it off. You know, God is with you. To those that love the Lord Jesus, God is with you. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Do you believe that? He's always there. He's always with us. Some days it may not feel that way, but that does not change the promise of His Word. That does not change what God has said, because you don't go on your feelings. You can get up on a grey day, a grey morning, and feel, oh, I think I'll stay in bed. You get up on a sunny morning, you think, oh, great, you know. What's changed? Just what's going on around you. But the truth is, it is about what should be going on inside of us that decides who and what and how we are. Amen? Turn with me to the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job chapter 1. This is probably the oldest book in the Bible. It starts off in chapter 1 and verse 1, and there lived in the land of Uz a man named Job, a good man who feared God and stayed away from evil. He had a large family of 7 sons and 3 daughters and was immensely wealthy, for he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 team of oxen, 5,000 female donkeys, and employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest cattleman in the entire area. Every year, when each of Job's sons had a birthday, he invited his brothers and sisters to his home for a celebration. On these occasions, they would eat and drink with great merriment. When these birthday parties ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would summon his children to him and sanctify them, getting up early in the morning and offering a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and turned away from God with their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. Job offered sacrifices for his children just in case. He wasn't sure whether he'd sinned, but he was doing it just in case. And it's sad, really, because this is the thing that brought Job down eventually, and we shall get to that point as we read on. But the next part is interesting. In verse 6, he says, "One day as the angels came to pass themselves before the Lord, Satan and the accuser came with them. 'Where have you come from?' the Lord said to Satan, and Satan replied, 'From patrolling the earth.'" He's still patrolling the earth. Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest of all the earth, a good man who fears God and will have nothing to do with evil." Wow, you know, this is God, the creator of the universe, has pinpointed this one individual, Job, and said to his enemy, Satan, "Have you seen him? Have you seen his life? Have you seen his performance? Have you seen how good he is? Have you seen how he loves me and he worships me?" And Satan answers back, "Why shouldn't he? When you pay him so well." I'm reading from the Living Bible, it's paraphrased, but I just actually love this bit of a reading actually. He says, "Why shouldn't he? Yeah? You pay him so well. You always protect him and his home." Hallelujah. You know, children of God, God will always protect us. God will always seek to cover us. Right? You're going to say, well, we're going to read through this. You're going to find out what happens to Job. Just listen. I can hear somebody saying, "Well, but what about me? What happened in my life?" Well, we're going to carry on and read Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. "You always protect him and his home and his property from all harm. You have prospered everything he does. Look how rich he is. No wonder he worships you. But just take away his wealth and you'll see him curse you to your face." And the Lord replied to Satan, "You may do anything you like with his wealth, but do not harm him physically." God gives the enemy, God gives Satan a free license at this point in time, but he says, "Do not touch his life." Our lives are protected. There's a covering over us. So Satan went away, and sure enough, not long afterwards, when Job's sons and daughters were dining at the oldest brother's house, tragedy struck. A messenger rushed to Job's home with the news, "Your oxen were ploughing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided and drove away the animals and killed all the farmhands except me. I am the only one left." Tragedy had struck. His family's been destroyed. Flocks have been stolen. Everything he has, everything he owns, has been taken away from him. And then in verse 18 it says, "As he was speaking, another servant arrived, saying, 'Your sons and daughters were feasting at their oldest brother's home, and suddenly a mighty wind swept from the desert and engulfed the house, that the roof fell in on them, and they're all dead. And I alone escaped to tell you.'" So he's lost all his wealth. Now he's lost his children that he loves. It says then in verse 20, "Then Job took up his robe, tore his robe in grief, fell down upon the ground before God and says, I came naked from my mother's womb, he said, and I shall leave and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything I had, and there where is to take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or revile on God. Wow. What a challenge. What a challenge as individuals, that you lose everything, you even lose your children, and then yet you sit there and you say, well, you're in grief, yeah, I'm still alive, but I came into this world with nothing, and I shall leave this world with nothing. And that's the truth. We all came into this world naked. We came, we had nothing. And there's one certain thing that you know. When you were born, you will one day die. Unless Jesus comes and catches us out at that point in time, lest we live in that time when Jesus shall come. We're born, we die. But what's in between is very important. And that God has created to live a life to a fullness, and to have a life of blessing, and to actually have an impact on other people's lives. And I thank God for the opportunity that I've had to have an impact on other people's lives. I thank God that as I look back through my time serving the Lord Jesus and seeking to honour God, I thank God that I can look back and I can see people who are alive today who should be and would be dead because Satan wanted them dead.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, yes, these people are alive because Jesus is alive in my heart. Jesus, because I surrendered to Christ. I gave everything to Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Amen.
You won't lose out when you start following Jesus.
No.
There is no way that you lose out.
Never.
When you give Him everything and you allow Him to take possession of your life, He will take you through, and He will bring you through in victory upon victory.
Yeah.
And you know what the world sees as being failures? Well, you know, we were once named the Church of the Rejects. Glory to God. The world's rejected me, but Jesus has accepted me. You know, I've been rejected. Yeah, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
But guess what? The only person that is important is the fact that Jesus does not reject us. God the Father does not reject us, because we come to Him through Christ, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Satan took a hit at Adam and Eve, and he tempted them, and he took charge of the earth. You know, he's the agent of temptation. He's the agent of destruction. He's, you know, have you noticed that jealousy eats people up? Jealousy eats people up. And they do some of the most horrible things through jealousy. Jealousy can be so destructive in people's lives and through people's lives. You know, the Hebrew meaning of Satan is one who lies in wait.
Yeah.
He's waiting. You know, Jesus said to Peter, Satan crouches at the door. He's crouching at your door. He's waiting his opportunity. He's waiting his opportunity. Let me tell you this, folks, don't give the devil an opportunity. Stay close to Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. Let God direct you and guide you. In the Greek, Satan is classed, his name means accuser. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He wants to accuse us and destroy us. But I thank God that God has built a strong wall around us, the precious blood of Jesus. You know, when you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 31. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking to Simon. And he said, the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Wow. It's interesting that, isn't it? He's been with Jesus 3 years. He's seen the signs, the wonders, the miracles. He's seen Jesus feeding 5,000 men, women and children, plus, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's seen Jesus speak to the winds and the waves and they become still. He's seen Jesus open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. He's seen Jesus raise the dead. He's seen a man dead for 4 days and Jesus raised him up, Lazarus. He's seen all these things going on in this time. And Jesus is turning around to him and saying, after 3 years, when you get converted... Did you miss that bit? When you get converted, when you get saved, when you realize who I really am, when you surrender all to Jesus, he says, when you've done that, he says, go and strengthen the brethren. He set him a mission. He set him a goal. Yeah. And for each and every one of us here today, God has a plan, God has a mission, God has a purpose for your life. You are not here by an accident. You are here by a divine plan and by a divine purpose of God. Every one of us are here through that divine plan and that purpose of God. I'm not an accident looking for somewhere to happen. And neither are you. You are a plan. God has a purpose. God wants to move you, each and every one of us, to another level in Him. God wants each and every one of us to be stretched beyond our own natural abilities and to walk in faith, to walk in the power of the Spirit of God, to see God moving in power, not to be overcome by adversities, not to be overcome by fear. Today, fear is locking many people in behind closed doors. Some people are saying, well, where is God in all this that's going on? The majority of the people in our nations have turned around and said to God, clear off, we don't need your help. We've got the scientists, we know exactly what we're doing. We're quite capable to think and sort these things out ourselves. We don't need God. But then as soon as something starts to go wrong, people start saying, where's God in all of this? Well, you told him to leave. You gave him notice to quit. We told him to get out of the schools. Yeah. We told him to get out of our lives. Yeah. And then now when we're in trouble, we say, where is God in all this? How can you believe in a God? Well, you told him to leave. Well, let me tell you this. I didn't tell God to leave my life. And I know that God can heal the sick and He can raise the dead and He can cast out demons. He can deal with all of these things when we surrender our all to Christ. I've seen it. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen blind eyes open myself. I've seen deaf ears unstopped myself. And she's been raised from the dead. The prognosis on this young woman sat over here, God, the doctor said she would not live more than 2 days. When I went to the hospital, the Lord said to me, tell her this day she shall not die. Amen. Absolutely. He said, you're going nowhere. And I prayed and laid hands on her. And the doctors in the hospital 2 days later said she's a miracle. Yeah. And she is a miracle. How many years ago? 17 years ago and she's still alive. Come on, glory to Jesus. You know, we need to tell these stories. We need to tell people that this Jesus that I follow, that this Jesus that I worship, that this Jesus who gave his life on the cross for each and every one of us, this Jesus can still do signs, wonders and miracles through his body, if we will believe, if we will stand in faith and not stand in fear. Faith will paralyze you. You as a soldier know the worst thing you can have is fear. Is that true? They try and drive fear out of you in your training, don't they? Yeah, because they know that fear will stop you from doing your duty, which would mean that you might lose your life. Is that true? Yeah. See, fear is a thing that stops us. And that's why in the Bible over 365 times it says, fear not. Amen? Amen. Say this with me, I am not afraid.
I
didn't hear you.
I am afraid.
Praise God, I am not afraid because Jesus is in my life. Because God is in charge and I am not afraid. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Now you might say to me, well, what was this all about with Job? Well, you see, there was a little seed of doubt. There was a little seed of something in Job's life. You know, I hate this thing. There was a little seed in his life. In chapter 2 it says, and the angels came and presented themselves before God. And the Lord said to him, where have you been? He said, I've been patrolling the earth. And he says, well, he said, have you noticed my servant? The Lord asked. He says, finest man in all the earth, fears God, he's a good man, turned away from all evil, kept his faith, despite the fact that you persuaded me to let you harm him without any cause. See, the devil does not need a cause to harm you. He just does it because he's evil. You know, people sometimes will say, well, what did I do wrong? Nothing. Nothing. Well, surely I must know. The devil doesn't care what you do. Jesus told us, yeah, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. But Jesus didn't finish there. He made that statement, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but. Look out for the buts. But I have come to give you life.
Amen.
And that with an abundance. Amen. Amen. So you know, God is an abundant God. God wants you to know his presence, his power, his anointing, his provision.
Yes.
Verse 7 of chapter 2 in Job, he says, so Satan went out of the presence of the Lord and struck Job with a terrible boil from head to toe. Well, first, sorry, I forgot to read. He then says, you have noticed your servant Job, he's the finest, etc. Read that. He says, skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give anything to save his life. Touch his body with sickness and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord says to him, do with him as you please, only spare his life.
Amen.
So Satan went out of the presence of the Lord and struck Job with a terrible case of boils from head to foot. Then Job took pieces of broken pottery and scraped himself and sat among the ashes. And his wife said to him, are you still trying to be godly? When God has done all this to you, curse him and die.
Amen.
That's just what you want, isn't it? You know, somebody who comes alongside you and is the real, as they say, Job's comforter. Curse him and die, you miserable old beggar. You know, but verse 10 he says, but he replied, you talk like some heathen woman. What shall we receive? Only pleasant things from the hand of God and never anything unpleasant. So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. The story of Job goes on, and possibly somewhere between 9 to 18 months he suffered these afflictions. Wasn't for a lifetime. So often people say to you, remember Job. You know, remember the sufferings of Job. You know, you're going to have to go through these things. And they just, excuse me, read the end of the book. And we're going to get there. But what was the key? What was the real root of this cause that brought Job to this situation? And it's in Job chapter 3. I just want to read from the New American Standard. Job. It is in my Bible somewhere. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. And he says this, for what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread has befallen me. Job, earlier on, he was making sacrifices for his children just in case they had sinned. Just in case they'd done something wrong. So instead of offering God sacrifices out of a loving freedom to God and a desire for God, he was offering it out of fear. And fear was ruling part of his life. And so he was offering these sacrifices. And so by that fear being in his life, it opened the door to the enemy to come in and to attack. You see, if, as we said earlier, fear will paralyze you. Fear will cause you to stumble and fall. It will cause you to fail. I read a story the other day, and I think this struck hearts with a lot of people that were listening either online or with us. And you can listen to the messages that are online on our website, harvestfieldsministries.com. And this is a story of a donkey that fell down a well. And it goes like this, that one day in spring, Farmer Green's donkey fell into a well. The animal brayed loudly as Mr. Green tried to figure out the solution. He finally decided that since the animal was old and the well needed to be covered over anyway, it just wasn't worth rescuing the donkey. Just watch out. Just, you know, us grey head, we're not that old that we don't need rescuing now and again. So he recruited some of his neighbours to help. And together they all grabbed shovels and began to toss dirt into the well. At first the donkey realized what was happening and wailed louder. After several minutes, however, he quietened down. The neighbors were amazed how quiet the animal had become. Father Green finally looked down the well and was astonished at what he saw. He says, and as every shovel of dirt hit the donkey's back, the animal did something incredible. He shook the dirt off his back and he stood on it. With every shovel of dirt that landed on his back, he shook it off.
Amen.
And he stood on it. And as Farmer Green's neighbour continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, the donkey continued to shake it off and step up. It wasn't long until the donkey was able to step up over the edge of the well and simply trot off. We can't go through life without having some dirt tossed on us. Every single one of us will experience trials, loneliness, but when life tosses its dirt in your path, you have a choice. You have a choice. Step up, shake it off. Come on, just shake it off. Just do a shimmy and shake it off, and then step up on it. That's it. Just shimmy it off. And listen, every one of us has had dirt thrown at us. Who hasn't? Raise your hand. Nobody. Every one of us, somebody has said something, somebody tried to do something, or somebody's done something. You've a choice to make. You can retaliate or just shake it off and step up over it. Use it to lift you higher. Use it to bring you to a better place. Use it to bring you freedom. And Job, the story of Job goes on for the next 39 chapters. And boy, is it. It's a tough read, so I like to get to the end of it. Every trial, every tribulation, every challenge that we go through will be tough. That's the reason it's called a challenge. That's the reason it's called a trial. When you're in the army, they set challenges for you. Do they give you all the easy ones? There aren't any. There you go. There are no easy challenges. If there are no easy challenges in the British Army, let me tell you this, there are no easy challenges in the army of God. They're just as tough. We're in training for reigning. Hello? I said, we are in training for reigning. That's what you're called to. You're not called just to be get saved. There is something beyond it. I daren't share some of the things that I've got in my heart at the moment with you yet, but there are some things that I am just again questioning as I've read Job, and this thing where Satan comes, where have you been? There's just some little gems I would just like to drop out, but I better not do it today. That's going to have to be for another day. God is here to look after us and care for us. The enemy comes against us. When the enemy comes in, the Word of God says, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. There's a barrage that comes from heaven on our behalf. When we're walking with God, when we're staying close to God, when the enemy comes in against us, he says, then the Lord lifts up his standard, and like a flood he comes against the enemy. So often we read it that the enemy's coming in like a flood. No, he's not. Because when you read the Bible, there are still more angels in heaven than there are fallen ones. God is our provider. God is our provision. God is our helper. God is our deliverer. He came to set captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to release you from bondage. That in your pain, in your hurts and your wounds, God has come to set you free. The devil doesn't want you to be free. But he has no claim. Because the blood of Jesus over your life is what sets you free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus is the one who's come to set us free. Jesus has come to break the yoke of the of bondage of the devil over our lives. He's come to destroy the works of the enemy. And fear holds us back. Fear stops us staying in the presence of God. Fear causes to be driven out from the presence of God because we think, I'm not worthy. But I tell you this, through the blood of Jesus, we are made worthy. Through the blood of Christ, we are made worthy to enter into the presence of God. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. God wants to break the bondage over your life this day. God wants to break that bondage over your life this day. We might not escape trouble, but we've got to remember He will never leave us. He will never forsake you. He is always with us. And when we begin to look at the last book, last chapter in Job, it says there, from verse 12, of chapter 42, he says, and the Lord blessed Job the latter days of Job more than his beginnings. He had 14,000 sheep. When he first started, he had 7,000. He had 6,000 camels. If you look at the beginning, he had 3,000 camels. He had 1,000 yoke of oxen. If you look at the beginning, he had 500 yoke of oxen. And 1,000 female donkeys, he had 500. Have you noticed? That's a doubling. That's a doubling. That's a doubling. When the devil steals from you, God will double back. Come on, church. God will double back. I know I've had things stolen from me, but do you know something? I have seen God double back on me. I've seen God bring a double portion. I've seen God bring an increase. And do you know why? Because I decided I was not going to retaliate, but I decided that let God be the judge. Let God be the one who does the vindicating. Let God be the one who causes me to prosper. And God has done it every time. What the enemy did for evil, God turned it to good. God is a God of provision. Hallelujah. He said in verse 13, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the name of his first daughter, and second it lists the names, and then it goes on to say, and in all the land no women were found so fair as Job's daughters. And Job gave them inheritance among their brothers. That didn't usually happen. Only the boys got the money. Job looked after his daughters also. And then it goes on to say, and after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations, and Job died an old man, full of days. The promises, the blessings of God. When somebody says to you, remember Job. Yeah. Remember Job. Chapter 42 and verses 12 onwards. Double portion. Blessings of God. Captives set free. Healed. Provision provided. Blessings upon blessings. Don't let fear take its root. Don't let fear take hold of you and stop you moving forward. And we need to bind all fear. You see, every time you listen to the news, it's fear. It's fear. In the army, do they try and put fear in you before you go into a maneuver? They try to build confidence. They try to give you the positive. They try to tell you, we've given you the best equipment, we've done the best plan, we've done this, this and this, and we shall succeed. We know exactly what is going on. Well, let me tell you this. When you read the Bible, when you get involved with God, you know what the devil's seeking to do. You know what is going on. You know that he's come to steal, kill and destroy. But, Jesus said, I have come that you will have life and have it with an abundance. And you might say, well, Andrew, if you were living my life, you would know that I haven't got an abundance. Well, let me tell you this. You need to grab hold of Jesus. I grabbed hold of Jesus as a teenager. And the devil has sought to make me lose my grip at times. But I'm still hanging on. There's been days when I've been really sick, but I've still hung on. God has been my provision. I had 6 months on my back. And they wanted to operate, and I said, no, I'm going to trust Jesus. They told me I'd never ride a motorcycle again if I had the operation. You said the wrong thing, doctor. I live to ride. In that sense, or a ride to live, I don't know which way around it is, but we enjoy riding, don't we, Steve? Both, hallelujah. It's both, yeah. And we just enjoy that freedom. And I made a decision, I'm not having the operation. But in another 6 months, I'm up and about, and I'm riding, and we go to France on the motorcycle, Grace and I, because we trusted God. We believed God. And we just let him provide for us and minister to us. And I kept my focus on him. The be all and end all, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the great healer, Jesus, my healer. And that's what he is for each and every one of us. And this day, Jesus can heal, deliver and set the captives free. He loves you with an everlasting love. He has not come to cause you to be afraid. He's come that he might destroy the fear that has been destroying your life. He's come to destroy the fear that has been entrapping you and trying to bring you to a place of destruction. There's no fear in love. True love. God is love. Never creates fear. The Father's love for his children is beyond understanding. And I just pray for each and every one of us that today, as we have listened to this word, shake off the fears. Some of you may be wrestling with certain situations and circumstances that are causing fear in your life. It's not from God. But God can use this to draw you to him. God can use this to bring you into his love. Because he has an everlasting love. He's come to set captives free. He's come to bring healing and wholeness and deliverance this day. He's come to bring salvation. Some of you might say, I don't know everybody here that's here today. Some of you may be in church for the first time. You may have never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and life. You may have thought that church is just for the old folks, you know, just a crutch for them to lean on. People told me when I became a Christian, you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. It's a boring life, you know, they said. I said, well, okay. I've travelled more. When I gave everything up, when I gave my job up in engineering, and they said to me, "That's all, your holiday's over and done, we're going abroad." Well, guess what? After that, we travelled 4 times a year to the US for some reasons, I don't know why, and always God provided. God turned up on the scene. God is the provider for each and every one of us. And today, I just want to give you an opportunity to enter into one of the most exciting, well, no, not one of, the most exciting life that you can ever have. And that is to take Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. As I say, I don't know everybody here. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know this, that God has come, Jesus came to set you free. All you've got to do is say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be the Lord of my life. Lord, I surrender my life to you, that you might take charge and be the Lord of my life." So today, I'm going to just offer this challenge to you. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, why? Just raise your hand right now and say, "I want Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. Thank you." Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Okay, 2 people. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we pray right now for these 2 lives, these 2 souls that need your presence, that need you in their life. We all need you, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you that you gave Jesus. He surrendered everything and gave all of his life, gave up everything for me and for each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, right now that you would just touch these lives. I pray, oh God, that they would know such a power and a presence in their life, and that, Lord, they would know you in such a wonderful way. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, be the Lord of their lives. Father, let them know you, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, I pray they will not let you go. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.